The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
I figure it'd be a good idea to play that. We'll do that one after a victory. Every podcast we do, Coach.
I love it. Yes, after victory.
After victory.
Hey, let's do it. You know, we can do it after a loss, too.
But after a loss, we could play like some sad music.
It's just demoralizing.
I don't think we're going to be playing a lot of that, though. I just have this feeling, Coach. I have this feeling. It's the two-man game podcast with UNC basketball coach Steve Smiley. I am Brady Hull. Fun to get out to practice yesterday for just a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I was out there for a bit. And I want to get into this. Coach, the you asked me, you're like, what'd you think? I'm like, I honestly don't know. Because
nor do I.
Well, the thing is like, and I brought our guy, the dude down the hall is what we call him. I brought him because he's a big hoops fan and he wanted to come by.
Big Dustin, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Big Dustin. Yep. And I was talking to him. I'm like, what fascinates me about your job? Well, so many things. But everybody, especially the guard play in practice when you guys are kind of going at it, it's so close.
Yeah.
Everybody is so close. I mean, guys are making plays left and right. Guys that didn't play on Monday are making plays.
Yeah.
So I guess with me, it's like, how do you evaluate that? You know who's good, but if I'm just a random guy, which I am, just walking in, I'm going, there's a couple guys. I mean, body types stand out to me. The speed, there's certain speeds, but everybody just seems so freaking close.
Well, I think they're all good or you know, they wouldn't be with us. But I guess in going to the comment, you know, some guys didn't play on Monday. This is a good starter. So the guys didn't play on Monday. Will Dixon, Caden Erickson, Steven Ramirez are all redshirting.
Okay.
So that's the start of it, right?
Yeah.
So like if you and you can always pull a redshirt. You know, if we have the guys that are playing somebody that struggles or somebody that gets hurt. Like, obviously, we're so – you couldn't see that on Monday, but we are in a lot of ways so loaded minute-wise. It's no secret with Quinn, Zach, and Brock. I believe those guys are going to play a ton of minutes. So, like, let's just say, I don't know, those guys play 33 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Well, that's 100 minutes. That's half the minutes of the entire team are consumed right there, right? So, at the same point, if one of those guys – gets a, again, knock on wood, it hopes it never happens, but gets some type of catastrophic injury, well, it changes everything. So some guys that, you know, you look at Steven Ramirez, you look at Caden Erickson specifically, they're good enough and ready to play right now, but also they have the ability to protect their years by not playing. And knowing that guys like in the guard world, the Quins and Zachs are graduating this year, well, maybe it's smart to not play this year to protect yourself because you only get four of these years. And there was, you know, hope that 5 years to play, 5 years, all these potential rules, none of it happened. So you still got 4 years to play right now. That's all it is. So you got to protect those years. And we always give the player the choice whether they want to do it or not, but we also give them an honest lay of the land before that first game because if you put them in for 1 minute, this is not college football. I don't know the full rule in college football. You can play, four games, five games, and you can shut it down. You play 1 second of one real – it's over.
It's just different. Such a weird rule.
I don't like it. Yeah. I wish you could have it like football so you could test some different things out.
Yeah.
A guy that's redshirting, maybe he is a guy that should be playing in, you know, legitimate minutes. But the lay of the land right now based off of all this data and film and stats and analytics and how much do you really have? It's the first game. Well, you do. You have all this stuff going back to June 1st. You have a foreign trip game. We played three games, you know, in Portugal. We played a secret scrimmage. We played a live exhibition game. We played a roll call inter-squad scrimmage. We've scrimmaged ourselves probably 10 more times. We have a ton of data. So we're not just throwing darts at a board. So when guys don't play, it's really to protect them and say, hey, do you want a red shirt or do you not want a red shirt? But here's what we see right now today. And again, things could change with injuries, whatever it is. I don't think things will change with behavior mm-hmm. or ineligibility, academic issues. We got great guys. So I you could see sometimes guys that, you know, they flunk out at semester. That's not happening here. Guys that are behavior issues, get in trouble off the court, get in trouble with the law. Like, that's not happening here. So you can remove those. But what you don't know is you don't know the injury situation. So things could happen there. But going back to your question, Brady, what separates guys right now more than anything is experience. One, college experience, right? Division I experience to me is different than other types of experience. Two, system experience. What I mean by that is the guys that have been here that are returning, they have a little bit of a leg up early on in the year in the sense of understanding the difference between, hey, we go to red coverage, that's coverage overrides personnel. We go to fire fear, that's coverage overrides personnel. But we go to white coverage or switch coverage, that's KYP. And you're like, what are you talking about, Smiley? So like, but those are the things. And those are the areas that, that players, there's just too much, that players will make little mistakes, little scout mistakes that literally are the difference between winning and losing. So the guys that come back and the guys – and it's the guys too that if you can stay with the program for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you have an absolute advantage over other players because you know the system.
Yeah.
And I think that's critical as well. So what's the difference? It might not be like it's a body type. It might not be body type. It might not be talent. But what it is institutional knowledge, you know, this time of year because it's the first game.
Well, and even just watching practice when you guys are so quick to go from one thing to the next.
Yeah.
I mean, you shout something and it's just boom, instant. Everyone knows where to go. And I remember that from my high school days. You have your practice set up and it's like, bam, we're doing this and everybody knows. But still, there's just so much going on in their brains.
Yeah.
You got to be good at practice before you can be good.
Yeah.
You know, not just practicing, but just knowing what you're doing.
If you're failing, flubbing up the practice, I'm not playing you in the game.
Yeah.
And it looks very simple. Like, hey, okay, yesterday. So I was like, all right, man, film. So we did, you know, quick hit of film. Well, you know, they're just watching a film, you know, three or four things. Bam, we're stretching. There's not a lot of mental work in the stretching, but it's important. But then it's offensive vitamins. Well, we have six different offensive vitamins, minimum, maybe eight. So it's like, it's not just the same thing. I think yesterday you saw, you know, just our body ball movement, whatever. But but that's just one of eight things. So they don't know what we're doing. So it's like, all right, boom, body ball. Okay, boom, let's go pounds. Now let's go post perimeter. Usually we split the guards and bigs, but not yesterday. I brought them together. 3-on-0 litho series, right? And then I reversed the order of it. Because, again, I don't want them to just be creatures of habit all the way and they just go through the motions. They're robots. I hate robots. So it's like, all right, let's go 3-on-0 litho. Let's put it on the right side today. Let's reverse the flow of what we usually do. Let's go razor. Let's go Olay. Let's go chase. Let's go refuse. That's complete rewiring. Like you take this iPhone here and you open it up, right? What do all the smart engineers do? They reverse engineer it. They pull back the layers and they go backwards. So we went backwards yesterday. Again, who cares? But it's like I want their minds to think right away. All right, it's litho. It's okay. It's check, refuse, chase. That's what we use. We didn't do check. It was razor, Olay. The thing was chase, refuse. So then it's like, all right, now their minds are going, all right, now let's go, you know, CVC. Okay, now with CVC, closeouts versus coaches, very basic stuff, but we could do it a million different ways. So it's, again, it's just little stuff. It's like, hey, you see the two red jerseys?
Yeah.
On Coach Dorian Green and Coach Brett Clofield, they red means sniper. So I threw red jerseys on the two snipers. And then just to make fun of Coach Colin, I'm like, all right, that's a driver. So you got a driver here. You got Coach Campbell. He was the player. So no matter who you're guarding, you're not guarding all the same stuff. You got to understand what the KYP is. Very basic. No one's getting hurt, but we're moving. But you got to use your minds. You got to activate. And the problem is the new guys, and it's not their fault. They don't have enough reps to hit it perfect. It's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
It just does. And what happens over the course of time, you get better and better and better and better. So no one gives up on guys when they're making little mistakes early on. But these early season games, hey, we are going with experience. We are going with lack of mistakes because at the end of the day, we're not trying to win. We are, but it's not about winning. I got to make all these plays. No, no, no. The secret to this whole thing is eliminate losing.
Hmm.
And I thought we did a great job against Colorado College. We eliminated all the losing. We have five scout mistakes, which is tremendous. You know, the goal is seven or less, but right now we're hitting like 10, 12, 30. It's too much. We played Wyoming. We had 12 mistakes for 21 points. If we just have 9 mistakes, we beat them easily.
Yeah.
So, and they're the same way because they're new and they're all making mistakes. But like, It's not about making winning plays all the way. Effort plays, yes, but it's eliminate losing. And that's the thing this time of year. The team that does the fewer losing things usually wins. And this is a critical game. It's a Thursday, Friday night, CCU. We have to eliminate losing. It is critical we do that.
And we talked – I want to get to Monday's game and obviously tomorrow night's game as we do this on a Thursday morning, November 6th. So it was I love going out to practice. I could sit there and watch you guys all day. It's a lot of fun for me. But there was an interesting takeaway I wasn't expecting, Coach.
Yeah.
Your one of your assistant coaches is just fire, I guess, just shooting the basketball. Brett Klopfel.
Oh man, we have a lot of
really never
stories.
Miss,
dude. I'm telling you, mid range king, CSU Pueblo Hall of Fame. I think when he played there, so that's what people don't know. He's from Greeley.
Yeah,
Klope, he is in the Hall of Fame down there. He's on the wall. I've seen it. Back then, it was probably called University of Southern Colorado. I don't know if they'd made the name change yet, USC or CSU Pueblo, but RMAC legend. The thing with Klope is this, though, like for 90% of guys, the mid-range is a horrendous shot. But if Klope was playing for me, I'd let him take every mid-range he can. He never – and I told you, I said, watch this. Now, guys are stretching and Klope just kind of gets out there. And he doesn't even hit the rim.
No.
It just
– does he really never miss?
I mean, you
run up.
I don't know.
We're talking there and you're like, watch this. He never misses. And I'm like – deep down, I'm like, please don't miss, because coach is like really building this up. Like this is a big deal. He's never, and I'm watching. He's just.
It doesn't matter the gym. He's just
literally never missing.
For all the locals out there that are listening to this, do not play Coach Klope in any hand eye game.
No,
and I'm talking golf. I'm talking darts. You should bring him on the
boat. Let's
bring
him.
Hey, he was in a darts league, a professional darts league one time.
Are you?
Do not play him in darts. Don't play him in pool.
All right, we gotta
maybe, it was a billiards league. It was billiards or darts. But like I'm telling you, don't play Klope in a hand-eye game. Do not do it.
I'm going to try to get him on the whole show today.
I thought you were talking about Dorian Green, but I think you left. So
was Dorian going after it too?
Well, because of one injury. I don't like putting the coaches on scout team.
Yeah.
Especially when we go live, because you know sometimes you gotta ask coach, man, like so they don't go as live as they need to go. But we do have a broken finger on a guy that would be on scout team, so we're one guy short. So like, if it's DG scout, Coach Campbell, DC, he gets in there and he did a good job the last time. Now this is actually Coach Campbell's scout, so DG, he's getting older now, but we all know he's really good, right? So he was, I don't know what the right term is, killing our guys yesterday. They were getting mad. And so we're doing CCU scout. We're live, man. We're live offense. If we get a stop, we blow it back, and it's win the possession, this, that, whatever. And going through some of their stuff, we call it live with mystery. We don't teach your guys anything about what they're going to do on the first day of a prep. But we say, here's our coverage. Figure it out. We're not going to give you all the cheat codes right away. And DG was slicing those dudes. And it was getting great. And he was starting to talk to them too, starting to chip at them. That was great.
I love that. I left too soon.
Man. So anyway, Klope and DG like some practice all-stars yesterday for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get – well, I love getting Dorian on anytime.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think I've had Brett on the whole show. But I'm going to reach – if that's cool today, I'm going to reach out today.
It's time. Hit him.
And see if he can come on.
Because
I got to talk about this dart league too. No, it was fun to get out there and watch you guys. You guys end up pulling away big, 91-57 over Colorado College.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to this. What didn't you like about that game? Because when you score 91 and you allow 57, there's just mostly positives there.
The thing about it is, again, human nature is like our guys did a great job preparing for that. That team's a good team. I'm just telling you, they're picked second in their league. I believe they'll be in the Division III National. Oh, Division III. I mean, starting for the Memphis Grizzlies is a guy named Cedric Coward.
Mm.
He was at Washington State. He was at Eastern Washington. He was at D3 first. There are good players in Division III basketball.
Yeah.
And their big guy, Asher Novsinger, is legitimately, I believe he'll be a Division III All-American. He has given us problems for 4 years. He had 14-7.
Yeah, good game.
Go back a year ago. He had like 17-9. He is a legitimate, really good player. And he's kind of like a baby Jokic, man. Like, gets in there, he can really pass, he can score. Do you double him? Do you not? I love him. I think he's really good. And so we looked at them. I felt like they're starting five legitimate concerns. Now, as they got to the bench, they have a younger freshman-laden bench. And Coach Conroy, who does a great job, he's like, our freshmen are some of our most talented players. It's just the same thing. It's just taking them time to catch up to these older guys. But they're older guys. Like, I thought their first five was really good. And it's like 11-10, 12 minutes in the game. This is a real game.
Yeah.
You just come out and we're up 38-0. It was a real game, and we had to chip away at it. But no – I thought there was so much good. And usually, like, and we've had some pretty negative, you know, recaps, secret scrimmage, roll call, Wyoming, lose the buzzer, Mountain West team sold out arena. But I was legitimately unhappy. I thought we should have won that game easily. That's just our mindset. But I walked into this and afterwards, and we, again, you got to remove yourself from the emotion of it. Start watching a film of it. Everyone on our staff going into like these film sessions, but the analytics of it, we all have our own roles. I do the shot quality, in addition to all the stuff we chop up, but we have this winning losing sheet. I do the shot quality. Coach Green does the offensive rebounding. Coach Klopp does defensive rebounding. Coach Reed does shot contest. Coach Campbell does winning plays. And whoever the scout coach is does the scout mistakes. We put all it together. We have this little analytical formula that pops out a number. I know our rebounding effort was 84%, which is the best we've had all year. And we got rebounding like 48 to 24, yeah. But our rebound effort was tremendous. I know at the end of the day, our overall number winning losing was like an 89. And I think that like we looked at it, we're like, guys, the past 4 years, if we got over like 70, we're like 26-1 against all levels of teams. Mm. So that 89 was a big time number. So like take the emotion out of it. Watch film, do the statting, do the cutting, whatever it is, and then you have a better picture of what it is. But, yeah, there wasn't a lot of negatives, honestly. I thought, you know, we had 12 healthy bodies. All 12 guys got good minutes, legitimate minutes. Felt good about all that stuff.
Yeah, everybody got a pretty even amount of minutes.
And I'm with that.
For the most part. Game ball kind of thing. Who would you give the – or can we do that this year,
yeah,
Coach?
I mean, sure. I mean,
sometimes there's going to be shows where we might have a couple of games to go off of, but – throw out a game ball. It's pretty even up and down the board,
like statistically,
man.
That's a great question. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, the guys that were the starting five, and then, you know, Egan got foul trouble right away, so he didn't really play much in the first half. I'm trying to think Vince, Tanner Burkita, Chance. You know, game ball probably was Quinn. Yeah, the 13 boy dang it. Yep. Do you have seven
assists, five boards, two steals?
That probably is the most consistent line in that. You know, I think it's probably Quinn in this game. If you want to go the Brady Hole game ball, it's probably Quinn.
I'm gonna put that out there.
Yeah, go for it.
The two man game, game ball of the week. Quinn Danker's gonna get it. Congratulations.
I think he probably gets that one. Yeah, he was good.
No, he was, and he's fun player to watch in practice too.
Oh yeah,
because the guy just never stops.
He's so serious
about it.
That's it.
He's the most hilarious guy on your roster, but when he has a jersey on,
oh, it's time.
Completely different dude.
Yeah.
Like that's really cool to me. As I'm watching him, I'm like, that's not the same guy that's dressed up as a Power Ranger a week ago telling fans to come to games, having fun.
That's right.
Totally different person.
Totally, exactly. He is a chameleon. He knows how to shift and shape into the room he's in. But when he's in that basketball room, he's locked in, man.
It was cool to see, and this is one of that's on my radar, Ibu Yamazaki. Mm. We've talked about him a lot, but obviously first time first chance to see him in action. And then I walked up behind him and he's genetically pretty freakish. Like he's a pretty big dude, long guy. I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, I thought Ibu had a nice game, you know, and he missed some good looks. I mean, he could easily, you know, popped in 5, 6, 7 threes with the looks he got. I think he made 3 or 4. So he was able to show some of his stuff for sure. We saw some Ring Neary athleticism. We saw some Arik Muyin athleticism, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Ring on that baseline rip where he dunked it. You know, then you got Arik on the lob. And then Egan's athleticism, that pass from Brock to Egan where he just kind of caught it, went up, and just boom, just dunked on a couple of guys. Well,
and the dunk he had, the expression on his face after that dunk, like he was just like, it was so cool.
Yeah.
You could tell he was like, that was a hell of a pass, hell of a play.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, those guys really help our profile. We need that explosion, that athleticism, you know, for multiple guys. And so I'm really excited about that. You know, Vince Delano, you know, he didn't score, didn't shoot it well. I know he's frustrated about that and just trying to inject confidence into Vince. But he had seven rebounds. And as I showed Vince yesterday, I said those 7 rebounds is the best rebound effort he had all year. Like he was like 89% effort in terms of like just doing your job. And so like when you do the right stuff, then all of a sudden that ball kind of finds you. And those 7 defensive rebounds were pretty critical. So I think everyone did a good job.
Yeah, well, that's
Tanner Burkita knocked some shots down, you know, is a true freshman. That's a nerve-wracking deal. And so obviously we're not redshirting Tanner. And he's played well. He played well in the roll call scrimmage. He was hurt in our secret scrimmage. And so a little bit of, you know, mystery to him. But We need some shooting, you know, and he's a guy that can knock a shot down at a high level, so it was good to see him coming in and do some nice things, too.
No, obviously, in a game like this, you get a chance to go really deep into your bench.
Yeah.
That's where I'm interested to see, and this is kind of nationally, this is how it goes nationally with
sure.
college teams, is, you know, first few games of the year, legit teams, you kind of get to see everybody play. So I'll be curious to kind of see how deep you go into,
yeah, for sure.
into a bench when it's a 10-point game
oh, yeah.
rather than like a 20-point game or 30-point
game. I'm curious,
too.
Yeah. I'm
yeah.
curious.
What do you do?
You
like,
know,
where do you go?
So much of it is, you know, we love to play eight, maybe nine guys, but we also think, too, with the physicality of this team, and that was another thing we did a much better job of, we didn't foul as much. You know, you don't foul as much, you can get out and transition and this and that. You know, we'd been fouling way too much in the preseason, and it killed the flow of the game. Teams with soft presses. We're going to see a ton of soft press on Friday night. 2-2-1s, diamonds, 1-3-1, slow the game down, you know, matchup junk. What? And that's cool. Like, but if you get stops, you know, foul teams, you can play in transition. And I do believe, though, that our foul, our physicality, Quinn's a guy that he's really physical, and so he fouls too much. Brock fouls way too much. Egan Shields fouls way too much. So we were fighting the fight on the technique. Foul with your chest. You know, get your hands out of the cookie jar, because we don't want foul trouble to dictate rotations.
Yeah.
But we also want foul trouble to dictate the flow of the game.
Yeah, and that it was interesting. We were talking about that with Brock on Monday, too.
Yeah.
It was just the foul, you
yeah.
know, what he's really focused on. I asked him, like, what his goals were.
Yep.
And it was basically like, I don't have personal goals, just to stay on the floor. You know,
yeah.
not a lot of stupid fouls.
That's right. Absolutely. So I think those are big things for sure.
All right, you get the win 91-57. Again, hard to pick apart, really,
yeah.
that kind of a game. It was just one of those deals where you guys did what you needed to do.
Yeah, you know, and we had this late tip-off. It was supposed to be doubleheader. It fell apart. So 7:30 tip-off, which is not normal. We're back to 6 o'clock on Friday. But I thought we had a great crowd. We had 1,200 people there, which really for 6 o'clock, we're probably at 1,500 people there, over half full.
Yeah.
Another random side stat from what I've heard from our marketing people, which they're just crushing it. You know, Kitzman and the crew, they're crushing
it. They're awesome, yeah.
As of 3 days ago, we had 480 season tickets sold. We believe the record was 2 years ago at 482. I'm looking like, hey, man, 500s are right there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to get confirmation from our people in-house to make sure that 482 was the record. We got to break records out here. So we're trying to break – if that is right, and I don't know for sure, but if it's right, we're chasing 500. Man, we're going to do some promotions. We're going to do all kinds of, you know, weird stuff to try to get 500 season tickets. And if it is right, I'm not going to unveil what the 500 is, because if I'm wrong and we did 512
yeah.
during the Linder era, then this is always. But if it is right and we're right there at 500, then we're going to do some wonky promotions to get that thing over the top, man.
Yeah.
It's just another sign of growth that we in the most modern era, 482 is the best. We're 483, so we might have already got past that, but I want 500, man. I want to be 500. So, like, just the little things, we're trying to grow. And so I thought the crowd was good. I think we're going to have a nice crowd on Friday night. Need the community out there. You know, students go home on the weekends a little bit, and then you got football teams on the road. You got volleyball teams on the road. You got some, you know, we don't have the pep band yet. That starts in the second semester. So we need the community to continue, like they're doing, to show up. We got a cool Ames night. And Ames, the UNC partnership's big time. And I know we got a little special, you know, thing going for Ames to help out the employees and the students there. We got almost 200 of those bad boys sold already.
Nice.
Ames stepping up. So I'm excited, man. So anyways,
well, it's a mix.
Digress.
Well, no, and I like that, because obviously it's good. You've typically had a good basketball team.
Yeah.
You talk about the communication side, the communications department and what they're doing, and then just the fun videos. Like, I love them. I think what you guys are doing, getting the players involved, And Quinn, you know, guys dressing up as Power Rangers.
Yeah, we didn't force them to do that, by the way. That's you know, Quinn likes. I guess all these fools had Power Ranger costumes on Halloween.
Brock said he was dressed as a Power Ranger too. I was like, dude, I didn't see you in the video though. You were in the background,
yeah.
So it was Quinn that jumped up.
I got to tell you, I don't have a lot of bad days. You know, this team's fun, man. Like, just they're all Power Ranger stuff. And then, like, I remember like coming to practice before Halloween, and I remember Delano and Ring, and maybe it was Egan. So, man, what'd you guys do last night? I went to a haunted house in Evans. I said, there's a haunted house in Evans? I said, yeah, man. Now, I think it was Fritzler's. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe
okay.
It was the haunted crew. I don't know. But they're like, yeah, it was great. And, you know, and it was like $40 to get in. And so we got in to get the tickets. And then the line was 2 hours long. So they got us for another $40 for a fast pass. So, like, these dudes.
Oh.
But, like they're like, yeah, man, like 8 of us went out there. Like, just it's just a fun team. And,
yeah.
And so we don't have a lot of bad days with these guys.
Yeah, well, you can just tell. I mean, you guys watching a little bit of the film right before practice. Everybody's kind of hugging it up, joining in. They're watching. You can just tell it's a close group.
Yeah, and, you know, as minutes get doled out, this is where things get a little bit harder, right? You know, and the cancer, the tumor starts to creep in. It's just human nature again. Now, we don't have 16 guys right now that are playable because we do have three guys that are, as of right now, redshirting. We have one injury, so we're down to 12. Still hard to play 12 guys. That's not realistic eventually. I know you have Ali on the show a lot from CSU, and, you know, when we were getting ready early in the year, talking, I said, how's your team doing? And he's like, man, our hope is to play like 10, 11 guys. Like, we got a bunch of good players, but they haven't really separated either, so we're going to play a lot of guys. And I was like, it's hard to do, man. Like, yeah. But, you know, at the same point in time, on the flip side, if you're relying on like just 4, 5, 6 guys and you have 10 guys on the bench that know they never get a chance, that's hard too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just trying to find the balance of chemistry and culture and keeping guys engaged, you know, keeping them going is the biggest thing.
Do you have that? Like, I'm sure you have an idea of that, but when you start trying to trim this down, it kind of reminds me of like the NFL preseason when you're trying to trim your roster
down. That's a great point.
You're not cutting guys, obviously, but you're not going to play 12 dudes. QB, it's just not going to happen.
You know, in football, it's harder. QB1 plays.
Yeah.
QB2 could be really good. They don't get no burn, as the kids say. There's no burn, right? So, like, they don't get to play at all. And so it's like, it's not like that in basketball because we're subbing guys in and out. But, I mean, think about that. Like, you're a really good, you know, QB2, and you're sitting.
Yeah.
Like Coach Lamb right now, right? Costelli's healthy. You know, Eric has won the job. They've had a great, you know, start to the year, and there's excitement in the moment, but they're trying to win games. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's like, you can't have two guys, quarterback. Now, I can play two guards together.
Yeah.
I can play four guards. We played five guards. We played Langston Reynolds at the five last year. So, for us, we're not as – you know, like a sport like football, even volleyball, like it's pretty structured. You know, learning that from my daughter, like the libero's the libero, the setter's the setter. You know, the front line's the front line, the middles and the pins and the hitters and all this. So, like, it is what it is, right? So in basketball, if you have guys that are switchable defensively, you could hold water, you could play small. If we were there on last Monday night, Bears are playing big.
Yeah.
I rolled Brock to that four real quick.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that.
And then you put Ring at the three. Ring is a special talent, 6'8 with a 7'3 wingspan and guard skills, and plays hard. He's got a motor. And so now when he's at the three and Brock's at 40, like, we should dominate the glass if we're dialed in. So, like, we're dabbling, man. So, again, it's, you know, I don't know how to play 12. That's really hard, but I'm also not playing six. I think the bench is important.
Pretty set with, again, this is what we see too, is you know, first game or two of the season, is this starting lineup, and then maybe that changes.
We'll run that out. We'll run that again on Friday night. But we've, you know, if guys aren't able to perform or whatever it is, it's not like punishment. Oh, you can't start anymore. It's like, hey, we got to find what you find out through the course. And one thing I've learned as a head coach is that I don't care who starts. Like, here, who finishes, true, no doubt. But those 40 minutes burn quick. And if you don't start whoever in the first half and you keep the same line in the second half, what you're doing is, and let's just say that player should start for the betterment of the team, you are eliminating 6 or 7 minutes, right, at least from that guy's lineup. And it can kill you.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, how do you evaluate that? Well, you got plus minus, which that's a dangerous stat to look at. But also, best 5 minutes. We took all of our stuff from the secret scrimmage and from Wyoming. We lumped it together. And we said, who are our best lineups? What's our best? Like, and again, you could do 3-man lineups, 5-man lineups. Now, the teams that have like unlimited budgets, they can hire this stuff out. We ain't got that. So, like, our guys got to like actually grade it out. We have a manager that grades all this stuff out, and we're trying to learn the lineups so we can say, are we playing the right guys? The right minute? Because it's critical.
Yeah.
It's not just opinion. It's just like you gotta optimize the stuff.
Well, it's just like we kind of going full circle, like we talked about in practice. It's so tight. Everybody is. To get to this level, you're pretty good.
They're all good.
Yeah, so that's where your job gets tough.
Yeah, and it's fun for me too. Now that you know teams in our league are playing games in the Big Sky, and so I look at their, you know, who are they actually playing? Cause you can't hear all these names. Who are they starting? Who are they playing? You look at CU, you look at CSU, you look at Wyoming, you look at DU, you look at, and then I'm also, you know, not overdoing it, but, you know, okay, oh, South Dakota played Creighton last year. We'll play South Dakota in 3 weeks. Who played for them? Who's their guy? Like, so I'll click. And everyone, these coaches, I don't look at any other teams. I'm just, they're all lying. It's right on our phone.
That's like, so refreshing to hear that,
too. You can find it, too. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, the dude down the hall, we're sitting there and just talking about you a little bit and what little I know about your philosophy, but I'm just like, coach is a student of the game. Like,
yeah.
the things that you talk about on this podcast, the amount of reading that you do, the amount of games you watch, of course you're looking ahead.
Yeah.
You're not grinding in that sense,
And to clarify this, people say, I haven't watched any film of their teams. I agree with that. Like, I don't watch any other teams, like, specifically for scout mode until I get to that game. Now, my assistants, I got four assistants that are broke off into the scouts, and they're way ahead of me, and that's cool. But, like, okay, I'm sitting there last night, and I'm working on CCU film, and I'm working on practice planning, but – you know, and it gets like, I don't have ESPN coverage because it's debacle with YouTube TV.
Yeah.
So now I'm watching, I go to ESPN Plus, no Big Sky games are on yet. So I got UC Davis, North Dakota State. Yeah, I was curious watching that thing a little bit. There's nothing good. Like, it was Indiana versus Alabama. A&M was on Big Ten. I still got that on YouTube TV, but I don't have the ESPNs. So there wasn't, it wasn't a great night of college basketball. I got a game on. I'm sitting there on the couch working on stuff. But let's be honest. At some point, I can pull up the ESPN app or the CBS app, whichever you prefer, and I can see the games and the scores. I can click on it in about, you know, 0.2 seconds, see who's playing, and I would be shocked. Oh, I've never looked at, you know, box scores. Come on, man.
Yeah.
And then you get to the office and all, you know, you're talking to the assistants and it's like, hey, did you see this guy did this last night? Like, there's a little bit of chatter before you get back to your team, for sure.
Did you see you played Montana State? Is that right?
Yeah, Montana State. I'm on the ropes.
Yeah, that was a tight game.
Oh, yeah, Montana State was up with like 3 minutes ago, I think, something like that.
So, yeah.
And then the new freshman for CU must be really good. Everyone's talking to me. He had 24 points all in the second half. Isaiah Johnson, maybe.
Yeah.
All in the second half. Whoa, that's a good freshman.
Yeah, he's getting you're getting Dwayne Wade going to the game.
Yeah,
why was he
there? Was that a prime thing?
I don't know. He was dabbing up with Isaiah, so I don't know if they had a connection or what.
So maybe it's an L.A. situation. Yeah. So, yeah, who knows? But, yeah. Yeah, D. Wade's there, Warren Sapp's there. Yeah, it's still.
There's a lot of celebrities that are hanging around Boulder,
man. UNLV had Gucci Rowe. It's a new Gucci Rowe.
It's fascinating to see it.
Prime Rowe.
So the YouTube thing How bummed are you about that situation?
You know, yeah, let's get to some national topics here. I mean, I had DirecTV Now. So I cut the cord on the actual, like, you know, wired in or satellite, whatever it is. And it was getting way too expensive. Cut it, went to this DirecTV Now a couple of years ago, loved it. It was still DirecTV stream. It's great. It's like $80, whatever it is. Then I swear the same thing happened there at this point in time. Contract dispute, and it's ESPN. And they're all, yeah, everyone's trying to monopolize everything. I get it. And they shut it down. So I'm like, well, I don't want this anymore. So now I was doing this investigating. No more direct TV. Or maybe they just kept jacking the rates up or something. So I got down to YouTube TV and Hulu TV. I loved them, like, both. And you know why I went with YouTube TV? Multi-view.
Oh.
They had a sports thing. You put up to four sports on multi-view. I was like, this is amazing. So I went with it. I've been an extremely happy customer. And about 2 weeks ago on YouTube TV, these commercials would come up saying, hey, ESPN, Disney, ABC is talking about pulling. Log on to keepmynetworks.com, which I didn't do. I don't have time for that. to hold on to ESPN and this and that. But you could see, like, there were some warning signs, and then boom. It was on it was last Friday. It popped up. ESPN gone.
Just
right before
like
that college football weekend, the start of college basketball.
That's insane, man. That's insane.
I was, I'm a positive guy. I was positive that I had the ESPN subscription, like my Disney, because I got Disney Plus. And I'm like, oh, I got to have the right subscription to not only get ESPN Plus, but to get ESPN, because they've got this new app, right? They're trying to do their own thing, trying to monopolize, make money, get away from those other providers. It's pretty obvious what they're doing. But my access wasn't for the real ESPN. So now I am ESPN-less right now. So, yeah, you get to it. It's like, you know, I was thinking about saying, okay, got our Broncos tonight on Prime Video. I got Prime. And we all talk about it. It's like, you got Prime, you got live stuff on Netflix, you got ESPN, you got
Peacock, Apple TV.
I don't have Peacock, but I got NBC.
Yeah.
So now, you look at the NBA, it's on like six different platforms. And I have most of them, but not all of them. So at least last night, eventually, the Nuggets were on. And so I could, it was on like, I don't know, it was just on YouTube TV.
Yeah.
And so I finally, as I was cutting film and preparing for practice today, I was watching the Nuggets. They look good, man.
They do.
They look good.
Joker looks fantastic. Well, actually, on that note, I wanted to bring this, you know, talk to you about this because I heard Chris Dempsey, one of his sideline reports.
Okay.
Because I haven't watched a lot of Miami Heat outside when the Nuggets play them. But Spoelstra's running this five-out offense where they're really not setting any screens.
No.
It's kind of just
no ball screens. And
they
really stole it from
what was the Grizzlies guy, wasn't it?
And the Grizzlies stole from it's either somebody over in Europe, I think. But we looked at it last year, too, a little bit. Not to, like, take away from what we do. I believe in what we do to the highest power. But you know, we looked at it, we were talking about the Grizzlies, and I was like, man, this seems relatively simple. You just five out, and you're cutting. This guy cuts. You fill this, that, whatever. And now the Heat, they're doing it with a lot of success as well. But you also see with the Grizzlies, I don't know the whole Ja Morant drama, but like part of it is it was like they weren't running as many ball screens for him last year. I don't know. I don't know what's good and bad. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like there's a million ways to skin the cat. But you're right. The Heat are doing something.
Well, I just kind of like it because
it's interesting.
You see in college basketball way more character, way more teams doing stuff. And I'm a big NBA fan. But there's just a lot of pick and roll. I think the Nuggets are – they do pick and roll a lot. But they're still unique because they have a 7-footer that's a really good passer. And that's fun to see.
Yeah.
But in the NBA, you don't get a lot of –
Well,
it's not a lot of difference.
And even the pick and roll stuff used to be pick and roll, which meant like the guard has the ball, the big comes and sets it. Now it's even that's changed so much. And we do a lot of it too, where you can just get the same result with a bunch of different actions by giving the ball to the big.
Yeah.
As opposed to the guard coming off the big and give the ball to the big. The guard can still come off of it, or he can keep it, or whatever it is. And it changes. It's amazing how much that changes the coverage. So you see us, like the ball is in our big's hands probably as much as anybody. And so, you know, get the five-out stuff, and we can get the same ideas in ball screens. We still run a million ball screens, but you can get the same ideas, but you can get a lot of different variety and flavor, and you put some different pressure on the defense because you can't be as aggressive when the big has the ball and the guard's coming off a handoff, whatever it is, because if they keep it, you're all screwed up. So anyways, like, it is interesting. Like, the game is morphing and changing, and I love it.
Yeah, well, and like the five-out philosophy, that's basically you just got guys surrounding the three-point line, and the big man's not really sitting down
like,
low
like
very
the old
much.
School stuff, you know, we still do – we can morph mainly from four-out, one-in, big-in, or we can put a guard and we post up a ton. Some old school stuff is like three-out, two-in, bully ball. Now you can get to those actions. We do that too, but like we don't – that's not a structure for us. But a 4-out 1-in is the more traditional old school stuff. The 5-out where the 5 pops out, now you've inverted it. Now, why would you do that? Because in theory, a lot more driving lanes, right? Now, you have to still create those driving lanes because when there's 5 guys on the perimeter, that's guys really close to each other, right? Even if you have maximum spacing. But by having a little move in the 5-out and keeping those by the rim, the blocks, right? Keeping those blocks open, you do have better ability to drive. The key, though, is it only works if you have shooting at least 4 of those 5 spots. If you have five out but no one can shoot, the defense can still clog you up based off scouting reports. So it goes – I had a guy call last night who is an assistant coach at a very good Division I. He's like, hey, I want to pick your brain. He's like, he used to be a Division II head coach, led the country in field goal percentage at that level. We led the field goal led the country in field goal percentage last year. He's like, I want to pick your brain. What are you doing? Like you guys, you know, different teams, different rosters. And I was like, dude, it's really simple. I'm like, it's probably too simple. Recruit as much shooting as possible. Now, there's exceptions. Langston Reynolds, right? And he developed into a very good shooter. But, like, there's exceptions. But, like, try to get as much shooting as possible to space the floor. And then shot quality. Like, no matter what we do, we grade shots. You know, good shot, bad shot. And that's it. And you know, you kind of get to that. And players start buying into that. And they see their – it's called their offensive rating on KenPom starts to go up. We have all that data. And our players know they have to be 100 or better rating, or I probably won't play them. And they see where Dalen Kuntz, his first year at CU, to his second year, to his third year with us, to his fourth year, how it grows. And we have these ways to show guys to give them buy-in, right? But at the end of the day, none of this stuff works. 4-out, 5-out, big, this, that, with ball screens, Spoelstra stuff. None of it works if you don't have 5 shooters. You can have 5 out and cut it. But if they're not guarding you in the perimeter, you can just clog the lane. Mm-hmm. So shooting is the separator still,
in
my opinion.
Yeah, it's if you can't – all these gimmicks, all these schemes on offense just don't work if you if you don't have guys that can make shots.
That's it.
It was interesting to kind of see it. I wasn't – again, I watch basketball not like a coach. You know, so I'm just kind of sitting back having fun watching the game. And then I hear Dempsey talk about this. I'm going, okay, now I'm paying attention.
It's a true thing.
And it's so obvious once you catch it. It's like, wow, okay, this is unique. This is kind of – I respect a team that's trying something different.
It's the least amount of ball screens through the start of the NBA, like, you know, like in league, like modern history.
Yeah.
Like there are no ball screens. But then you look at their roster. They're really small. Bams are only big. Bam got hurt last night.
Yeah.
But Bam, like outside of Bam, like they're playing really small. So it behooves them to not play bully ball, to space it out, use that skill, use that shooting, and see what happens. So it is interesting.
Nuggets look good.
Depth
situation looks pretty good. Like it.
It was fun to watch them. You know, they just kind of through the course of the games kind of wear you out, wear you out, wear you out. You know, and it's what are we, 5-2, I think?
I believe so, yeah.
You know, we lose the buzzer, Portland, and we lose the buzzer when Curry hits the three, it's overtime.
Two tight ones, yeah.
So we're right there. I mean, obviously, OKC looks tremendous. I'm already staring at standings because I just, as a fan, I love this stuff. But we have not started bad. Like, we're good. We're 5-2. We're clearly going to be a good team. And I think through the course of time, we'll have a chance.
Yeah. Did you see Joker's pass on against the Kings over Sabonis' head the other night where he just, like, gave him a haircut?
Yeah.
That, even Sabonis goes up to Joker, jokingly. He's like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
Like, that, what are you supposed to do? If you don't move, you're going to get hit in the head.
It's amazing. He had a couple of passes, to Christian Brown last night. He's like, what just happened?
It's
unbelievable.
If Joker throws that ball and it hits Sabonis in the head and the ref, they can't call, there's nothing to call on that, right? It's not anything. It just would go out or whatever.
No, I mean, if you took a ball and threw it at a guy's head, like, out of an act of violence, like, that
would be a technical.
You're just passing a ball, hit somebody.
Because you can still argue, I was passing it. I wasn't trying to hit.
It's like hit by a pitch in baseball. Like, I'm just pitching.
It was so funny. I mean, seriously, I don't even think he really ducked, kind of, and then just goes right over his head. So,
it's crazy.
Fascinating. You guys have Colorado Christian coming up tomorrow night. We talked about Colorado Christian, and what they, because it was an exhibition game, right, that they had against Weber State.
Yes. 63-61 with a minute to go, up.
Yeah.
And we showed that. We have no film on them, but we showed that stat. The stats were up, so I screenshot that one, as that was happening last week. Three Division I transfers, the 2, 3, and 4 starting point guard back. Starting five was a very good Division II transfer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a legitimate team, and people say, whatever, Smiley, you told us that last year. We had 63 points at halftime last year. Going back, watching that film, cutting it, we were rolling. But last year, when they came in, they had just shown very well against two very good Division IIs. And so it's like, whatever. I'm telling you, like, they legitimately, literally went to Ogden, Utah. In that game, they lose at the buzzer, lose by three. Weber got 32 free throws. Colorado Christian got 7. I don't know. I have no film. I don't know how that happened. But, like, if there's not that foul or free throw discrepancy, it's clearly CCU outplayed them in several categories. So we got our guys on edge, and they know. And so it's like, you just can't overlook this stuff, man. You cannot do it. You got to be ready for it. Very good coach. Small side fact, Coach Liam Simmons is Ben Simmons' brother.
Really?
How about that?
I did not know. Yeah, that's cool. Great information.
Very tied into the really dynasty. And I'll tell you, when you watch him, you talk about, like, Spoelstra and how they play. CCU runs their stuff. I think, like, a European team, like an Australian team, like a pro team, they run great stuff. We had a play called Cougar 2 years ago. I stole it from them. So, like, they run really good stuff. So, like, we got to be on edge because they're going to put us in binds.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to another battle for you guys coming up tomorrow night. And then we'll be able to kind of somewhat recap that next week. And then you guys go to Pepperdine.
Then we go to Pepperdine.
Next Saturday, right?
Yeah. Yep. So one at a time. But now we got a great stretch coming up. You got CCU and then you got Pepperdine. And we got this 3 games in 3 days at the Portland MTE.
Yeah.
It's like, it's awesome. It's brutal. Because it's really 3 games in like 36 hours if you really look at it, because it's like our last game's at like 11 a.m. or something. But when you look at it, it's like, if you're going to win in Boise, you very well could have to win 3 games in 3 days. And the physical toll that puts on you, I'd love to replicate that early on. And so great opportunity there. But again, it's just CCU, then it's Pepperdine, then it's on the road, Portland and two neutrals, St. Thomas, who's really good, Fullerton. And you just kind of keep building from there. But there's a lot going on for sure.
Now I'm looking forward to it. This has been so much fun too, Coach. And I'll be I got my ESPN Plus app ready to go, so I'll be ready to watch all this stuff, man.
No matter how long ESPN and YouTube TV fight, we're good on ESPN Plus,
it's amazing.
No stress there.
Hey, real random question. I know you got to get out of here.
You're good.
Outside of sports, we're talking about all these outlets. What are you watching? What are you into?
Well, I do three things in terms of, like, watching or listening, right? Like, how do I consume information? Reading, podcasts, books. Now, the reading part of that, sometimes it's like I'm reading stuff, like learn stuff. Sometimes I just got to, is it nonfiction? Like, I like to balance it. podcasts, but that balances out with some music. So like when I'm working out early morning, I'm not listening to a podcast while I work out. I gotta get the beats on.
What kind of tunes are we doing?
I'm very diverse, but in the morning it's all hip hop, like old school. Usually, you know, just watch the Defiant Ones on HBO, which was a recap into Jimmy Iovine and Dre and those guys. So like that's been going pretty heavy in the old beats, but in the morning it's got to be something that gets me going. So that's more rapid hip hop. But man, I'll go into country, I'll go into the old school, I'll go to Papa Smiley classics. Pretty diverse. But what do I watch when I'm not watching stuff?
Yeah.
Shows.
Yeah. What kind of shows? Like,
Man, I'm on episode 8 of The Morning Show with my wife.
Okay.
Yeah, so what we will do is, and we'll watch movies on the weekends, but no movies during the week. We only can carve 20 to 30 minutes a night, which is embarrassing. But like, and it's not just because I'm out here grinding on film and this and that. But our kids are so dang busy.
Yeah.
And they might have a game, a practice, this, what, that, whatever. Our daughter didn't get home until 8:30 last night after her scrimmages and preparation for regionals. So it's like there's just so much going on. But we like shows. And so, like, right now it's The Morning Show. High anticipation for Stranger Things.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask.
The season, which is now I'm a little concerned because when you shut those things down for three or
They're
four
like
years.
They're like 90 years old now.
I am concerned, but yeah. I still will dabble. But no, I mean, just we love shows, you know.
Did you ever get into Walking Dead?
No.
Okay. Well, you know how the algorithms
Breaking
work.
Bad, though.
Breaking Bad was amazing.
Yeah, Breaking Bad. I waited on that for like till it was like, you know, 6 years past it was done. It was like 19 seasons. And
yeah.
The staff's like, Smiley, you got to do it. So I finally got into it. So Walter White? Is that
Walter White.
Yeah.
Walt. That's one where I love going through it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can go back. I don't know if I could ever do it again.
No, I usually don't ever go backwards. But no, there's so many good shows out there,
yeah.
And that's why I have so many subscriptions because I love the shows. We watched
that's
the
why
studio
we do
on Apple TV. I thought it was tremendous. I got a little bored in the last couple ones, but I thought it was really good actors and guest actors. Obviously, Ted Lasso's. I mean, positivity.
See, we got Ted Lasso. We got Apple TV because of Ted Lasso, and then we started watching.
Well played.
All the other stuff.
That's great.
I don't know if you've heard of Severance.
Severance. I haven't watched it. It's great.
Insanity.
Tremendous.
It's insanity. And then
maybe I got to go to that one. Severance.
The silo is pretty legit.
Maybe I'll go to Severance next if we get stuck. But no, I like his new shows. I put them on my notes on my phone just so I don't forget. But you know, it's Netflix. It's Apple. Hey, you know, Yellowstone and the Yellowstone.
I haven't done Yellowstone.
Oh,
okay, so
the best.
Does it get bad? Like, does the show get bad? The
I
last season
seen the final
or so.
Season.
Okay,
but what you want to do. Is you want to go all in. You want to go 1883.
Go
1923. I'm telling you, like, those are maybe the best in Yellowstone. Like, I was blown away. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love a good TV show. I get lost
in
it. No,
I'm the same way. So, like, shows, and that's kind of what it is. If it's not sports, it's shows.
Well, the reason I bring The Walking Dead up is my algorithm now.
And then
suddenly showing me this, and I'm like, I watched it for a while, and then it just got bad.
Well, and then family movie night's non-negotiable. That's on Sunday nights because we have nacho night and family movie
night. Nice.
And we let the kids usually pick those. And, like, it was, you know, Halloween themes before and scary. We went through the whole scary movies. Then we did kind of – I know what you did last summer. And
the old one? Old school?
Yeah, old school. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But – and then, you know, we love, like, the Marvel and the Avengers and stuff. And so we just dabbled into the new – or not new, the newer Spider-Mans. I don't know what the guy's name is, but Tom something.
Yeah.
But
wow. Totally
the kids talked us into that. So, yeah, like now we started the Spider-Man. There's three of them. I guess a fourth's coming out next year. So I'm with it, though, man. I'm with the Avengers and, you know, Madden talked us into Guardians of the Galaxy. And I was like,
good.
This is like stupid. Yeah. And it was awesome.
My only issue with Marvel is this now it's just there's so many. There's TV shows like crazy now, too.
Yeah.
So to watch a movie now. You have to, like, to understand what's going on, you got to go back and
watch into the universe.
Ridiculous.
And, yeah.
It's good. So, some of it's really good.
Yeah, I don't know where it all, you know, it had its heyday. Now it's kind of slowed down a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, the Spider-Man's and, you know, the Batman trilogy, The Dark Knight is, that's my world of Batman.
So good.
So, yeah.
The best,
like,
Batman.
We
can
talk about that stuff forever.
That's good, okay. Coach. All right, my friend. We went a little bit of, we went everywhere today.
We're good.
I love it. I love getting into the hoop side of it. And, We'll see what you guys do next week. Let's hope we're 2-0 next time we're talking, Coach.
Let's pack that bank Friday night for those listening, and then let's get it going.
If folks if they're listening to this podcast before the game, you should go to uncbears.com and you can find ways to get tickets. Right?
That's it, man. That's it.
All right, my
absolutely.
Friend.
Okay.
All right, Coach.
Good,
we'll let you get out of
go
here.
Go Bears.
Two Man Game podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy Ryan Hicks and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!